Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for holding this important hearing. I really do appreciate it. We've had so much focus on the airline sector and what's happening with airlines. We feel like we should be giving the ample attention to our rail routes and the importance to our economy. So thank you for both panels today to discuss both passenger and freight moving through. And I do want to join you in your prioritization of returning service to the Gulf Coast. I might not say the names just like you say them, New Orleans and Mobile, but I definitely believe that we should have reestablished route service there. As someone who sees the route service benefits in the Pacific Northwest, I can tell you it is part of an economy and we need to have it established. So obviously we've been challenged by the COVID-19 pandemic, and moving people and goods is what does keep our economy strong. In the state of Washington, the importance of passenger and freight infrastructure, of getting people and products to market, connecting urban and rural, is really, really critical. In 2019, 14.8 million people worked in transportation and transportation-related jobs, nearly 10% of the U.S. labor force. And throughout this pandemic, workers have continued to keep food on the table and get medical equipment to the hospitals and first responders. They have brought those first responders to the loved ones who have been affected by COVID-19, and they continue to keep our frontline workers in all sectors going strong with the services and supplies they need. That is why I think it's so important for the Senate to take up legislation that would include relief for the transportation sector, both in help and support of this Amtrak we're talking about today, as well as the airline. So I look forward to continuing to work with our colleagues on that. Workers in rural communities across the country, including in my home state, will pay the price if we don't see this aid. Tens of thousands, obviously, we've already talked about airlines, but Amtrak and transit jobs. And when I think about these forced cuts to profitable routes or the best routes, leaving Americans stranded in transportation sectors, I want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to analyze what support we need, because these restructuring are imminent, and we need to understand the consequences. So again, thank you for the hearing. Our two long-distance Amtrak lines, Coast Starlight and the Empire Builder, serve 15 communities, the majority of them small and rural communities. And in some areas, Amtrak is the only means of public transportation, providing a direct line for economic success in rural communities and across the state. And I know our colleague, Senator Tester, and I see our other colleague here, Senator Daines, that Mr. Tuss is going to testify from Montana. Well, I remember being in Glacier National Park in the I'm a big outdoor person, and definitely sitting there in our national park hotel there, and all of a sudden here comes all these people, and I'm like, where are all these people coming from? Oh, they just got off Amtrak. So if you don't have Amtrak service to Glacier National Park, you're going to have a problem. And we obviously are in a pandemic, but we don't want to see what just the chairman's talking about, some incident that basically sets a course where service is curtailed and then it takes you 15 years to get it reestablished. We don't want to see that. So I'm anxious to hear what we're going to do. If you asked me, I would be increasing service to all our national parks, because I think it's such a great concept to get so many people. If you look at the European models, that's exactly what they're doing, taking people to the great outdoors in all sorts of ways, and Americans certainly would appreciate that. More than 30% of the Amtrak workforce in Washington state is already facing furloughs. Thousands of more employees will see their jobs threatened, and local economies across the country will lose billions if we don't get Amtrak support into one of our bills. It's vital that we get immediate aid to keep transportation companies afloat, to have them significantly increase the investment in our national infrastructure. We all know that we need to do more there, but particularly in light of the devastating impact on COVID-19 on many state local economies, I'm sure, Mr. Chairman, like my state, there's lots of discussions at home about what projects are going to get put on hold if we don't move forward with transportation dollars. So we need, in my opinion, to continue to invest heavily in rail crossing improvements that will reduce congestion and freight bottlenecks and improve efficiencies. We need to do more on the safety front. In addition to positive train control technology and strong safety culture, means that we ensure trains and stations have appropriate staffing and the workforce is not being cut just in the name of efficiencies. And in the time of COVID, it means providing workers with personal protective equipment and taking common sense measures to reduce the spread of the virus. So I want to make sure that we're, that the White House or anybody is not blocking the CDC from implementing measures that would help us create a stronger safety culture. My colleague from Florida joined us on a temperature check bill as it relates to the airline sector. As economies that greatly depend on transportation like Florida or the Pacific Northwest, we want to build whatever infrastructure is needed on guidance from CDC and others to improve the traveling public's safety during the COVID pandemic and in the future. So with that, Mr. Chairman, look forward to hearing from our colleagues. And again, thank you for holding this very important hearing. And we look forward to asking the witnesses on both panels questions. So thank you.